Namaste, what's up, geeks? This is episode 104 of 104 of your favorite tech podcast, where every week we bring you tech news, views, tips, and a load of other stuff. Good stuff, but sometimes we tend to meander along a little bit. Joining me, of course, is the only person who doesn't have a COVID stubble and who still maintains himself well groomed and we shave every day, my co-host, Mr. Vinayak Nair.
Hi, everyone. I just shaved actually before the recording.
So, in between all this pandemic and while all of us are growing, people across genders are, letting things go, you're still shaving every day and keeping yourself well groomed.
Because I have to record my videos, right? So, whenever I'm recording the YouTube videos, I have a feeling I should look clean, right?
Well, okay. Am I supposed to feel bad about that? And
are you? No, you be you kind of a thing. You be you. I just my kind of point of view, I guess.
Yeah, you're trying to guilt trip me. It's not going to work. I have my COVID stubble. But anyway, surprisingly, we do have a little bit of news to discuss this week. So let's quickly head over to Broken News. And yeah, the first point beyond the headline, I don't think there's anything much to say, but Microsoft announced last week they had a press conference and earnings call, I believe. So, no, not an earnings call, just a press conference or whatever, press release. Mm-hmm. We don't have conferences anymore now. So, very weird. They have said that Office 365 is going to be renamed as Microsoft 365. I don't know why.
Because anyway, it's supposed to be an Office product anyway, right? Why are they doing so much Microsoft 365?
Office is such a strong brand, right? Microsoft Office.
Want to make the Microsoft brand strong again, maybe. So people whoever are using Microsoft 365, okay, Microsoft has other software also kind of a thing.
Has Microsoft really fallen on such bad deals?
No. I don't know what the marketing guys are thinking, actually.
But speaking of Microsoft, of course, one of my favorite Microsoft products, not exactly favorite, I have a lot of complaints too, is Microsoft Teams. So, do you use Teams, by the way, Vinayak?
We use Teams with only one of the clients and mostly it's the teams who are handling everything. I just have to see, okay, what's popping up once in a while. Other than that, I don't use Teams much. So, but you must be really using it at Office, right?
For us, Skype for Business has been completely deprecated. So, we are completely on Teams, Microsoft Teams. Mm-hmm. So they did announce that a lot of new features are rolling out to enterprise users of Teams and basically anyone who's using Office 365 or rather Microsoft 365. Mm-hmm. And some of these are really cool. So one thing, if you know, if you use Microsoft Teams, you know that if you're doing a video chat, it has a very nice, neat feature called Blur Background, which does a really good job. I mean, I've used so many other software which claim to do this, but Teams probably is one of the best which does it, where, you know, it kind of does the bokeh effect and only keeps you in focus while blurring out the background.
It's got that, like live focus kind of a thing.
Yeah. And it's been there for quite some time and it does a very good job of it. Now they've gone one step ahead and they're rolling out custom backgrounds. So you can have, preset backgrounds. So instead of showing your home, you can show somebody else's home.
I think Zoom also has, I think, right? Custom backgrounds. Like Zoom does, something this. You can look at this, right?
Yes. For folks who are using, who are watching this on YouTube, you want to talk again so that the focus is on you?
Hopefully, Marques doesn't do anything against me. Getting back to my own.
Yeah. So for a second there, Vinayak's studio changed into the MKBHD old studio. Zoom does have it, but I'm not using it, for example, right now because Zoom has a lot of requirements. You need to have Core i7 and whatnot, which I don't. So, but here Microsoft doesn't require anything like that. They said you can have custom backgrounds, especially now that so many people, all of us are working from home and frankly are a little bit embarrassed about how messy our homes look right now.
Yeah.
So I think this will be very useful. Apart from that, I also saw an option for live transcription. And this first, I noticed it in my when I joined into a Teams call from my phone, from the Teams app. It had a live transcription, which was ridiculously slow, but quite accurate. Mm-hmm. So it works like how you would expect, where if somebody's talking, it you know, transcribes, basically converts it into text, and you have neat subtitles in real time.
Yeah, like right now, after I got my Android 10, I think Android 10 update, or my S20 Plus, so I have live subscribe, I transcribe there also, actually.
And that works beautifully.
Yeah, and this is all over, like from anywhere, like any video you're watching, it transcribes below. That's a very nice feature, because I don't like to always keep my volume on. I always like to just read what's happening.
Absolutely. I missed that in my iPhone, though. I hope iOS 14 has something like that. So this works well with almost like 90% accuracy. I mean, I was in a call with people literally from, we had Australians, we had Indians itself, we have like 10 different accents. We had people in the Middle East and we had Canadians. It did a fairly decent job of, you know, accurately showing me what people were talking about. Hmm. Only thing is, you know, it doesn't tie down to who's saying what, so it doesn't distinguish between the speaker.
So continuous script of mix sentences and all.
Yes, especially so you can imagine in a large conference call, people talk over each other and, you know, this gets confused.
Like how we are doing, right? I'm going to be doing right now. So if we keep talking like this and he's also talking at the same time, he'll say, hi, this
exactly.
is something.
Yeah, so in between a sentence, my exactly would have just come into as the same sentence.
Yeah. If it is separated per you, like, a participant, it would have been fantastic, or under the video or something at least.
Which you have to think it's coming, right? Because Teams, anyway, when somebody's talking, it kind of highlights who's talking, which means the app knows who is talking. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, so maybe as early as a year or so down the line, what it will do is have a live transcription of the entire meeting where it will say, okay, this person said this, that this person. So you kind of have a screenplay of the entire meeting. And probably use some AI.
Then you don't have the minutes of the meeting also doesn't have to be done.
exactly. So in live transcription, apart from that, there are some other tiny features which other video conferences have had for ages. For example, raising a hand. I think WebEx has had this for quite some time, where there's a tiny icon, you press it and, you know, it shows a hand raised icon. So if you're attending a call where, you know, a lot of people, like, it's more of a seminar, you can raise your hand if you have a question, and, you know, the speaker can call you out and say, okay, yeah, I can take your question. Similarly, this one was very interesting. It's also going to have a participant report, which means along with Zoom, Microsoft says that, you know, a lot of schools have been using Teams for online classes. And this is based on a requirement from the educational community.
But I think more in the US, I guess, than anywhere else.
True. In India, actually, they have been using Teams and Zoom and Skype.
Yeah, because my son has got the classes from school. Like he's using Zoom. Sometimes they have a live feed from you on YouTube.
Exactly.
So they do all that now.
So that in this one, though, it goes beyond that. So a participant report is very useful. You can imagine for teachers, it tells you how many people have logged in. And how many of the students, for example, at what point did they come and how long did they stay? So it's not like, you know, you can, like, our good old school days, you come, you kind of mark your attendance and slip through the back seat. This will tell you whether a particular student stayed throughout the entire length of the class. And finally, they also teased a feature which is not rolling out now. They said it will come out by end of this year. And that is real-time noise suppression. Which is beautiful. They said that, you know, things like, you know, dog barking or babies crying or cooker whistles and all, in real time, it's going to identify those noises and kind of suppress it. Which sounds magical. Let's see how it works.
Yeah.
And you've got some news too.
Yeah. So this is news on the new release that's coming, upcoming release next week of the OnePlus 8. But like OnePlus has been releasing phones quite fast, right? So now this is it always, like, every half yearly they release a new phone, no? So you really keep track of what these guys are, what kind of specs and all these guys are coming up with. But it's supposed to be unveiled on April 14th. So that's only 4 days away right now.
That's supposedly when the lockdown was supposed to end.
Yeah. So as soon as our lockdown goes out, everybody can ship phones. Huh?
I don't think the lockdown is going away, but
I have a feeling it's going to be the end of the month at least. Yes. You're like, okay, don't take it from us. We are not 100% sure, but it might happen. So basically, but the kind of things that they're adding to the new phone, right, the OnePlus 8, the kind of features that are coming up, it looks like the phone is going to be quite expensive. Like, I think the base model of the OnePlus 8 is supposed to be around 60,000 rupees, and the higher end models go all the way up to, I think, 80,000-90,000 rupees, which is quite similar to how the S20 series are priced, right? So what is really different here? Like, okay, you're getting the latest Snapdragon chipset, so 865 in there. Then you have that more faster RAM, LPDDR5 RAM, which is called. Then what else do you have? 90 hertz AMOLED screen, which is this 120 hertz on the S20
And no series. Pop-up camera this time around for the reasons.
On the Pro also, right?
Yeah. I mentioned the reasons again last week and again the price. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm sure this is not going to be the last time I bring it up. But the reason why these phones are costing so much and are all that is again because of the stupid Qualcomm 865, which forces 5G onto everything.
Correct.
And the cost of materials is very high. So it's apparently gone up by as much as 40% or 60%, some number like that I read. So,
but that would be per chip, right? The whole phone, right?
No, yeah. So the cost of materials for your chipsets and all, since it requires also an external modem, it requires all these other things. So apart from buying the X865, you also have to buy some additional chipsets from Qualcomm. So it's...
Because the thing is, right now, picking up a 5G phone is going to be waste in India, at least for a year or two, maybe. Because the basic, the requirement, like what you need for 5G, right? The infrastructure is not ready yet. They're not even completely done 4G properly, I guess, before 5G comes in.
Dude, I would kill for 2G or 3G. You know how bad the signals are in near my house.
Yeah, but why is it so bad there? Because of all the buildings around, or is it that they don't have towers around?
I think it's probably a mix of both the reasons that you mentioned. A lot of high rises at the same time. There are, in fact, behind my house, it's pretty much empty. It's all land which is. Which I'm sure is going to be filled with more apartments any day soon.
Because if any of the apartments allow for putting a tower up, I think everybody can get a good signal in your area.
Everyone wants signals, but nobody wants the towers.
Tower, yeah.
Yeah, that is next week, of course, I'm pretty sure we'll be talking a lot more about the OnePlus 8 because it'll be released. So we'll park that for now. This news, I don't know, I was ambivalent about it. I'm not happy or I'm not sad. I don't know if you read this, but LG basically, they said that they won't be releasing the G series phones any longer. Mm-hmm. So for folks, of course, most of us who never buy LG phones, LG has again...
This is one of my old ones, my Optimus G Pro.
Optimus G Pro. I've had a couple of LG phones too. I mean, of course, both of them have been Nexus. I had the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 5X. Both of them were LG phones.
What about the tablet? Was it LG?
I'm not sure.
The Nexus 7.
Asus.
Yeah, that's right.
So LG basically has two flagships, right? They have the G series, or rather now it's called weirdly ThinQ.
ThinQ, yeah, that is there. I was thinking if it was at least Think, it would have been. You know what I mean?
Specifically went out of their way and saying it's not Think, it's ThinQ.
That's right.
And
the other one is the V series, right? Yeah, the professional cameras and the higher end DSP. That is nice.
Basically, what LG has said that they're going to stop the G series and they're going to have only the V series. And the most recent G series, in fact, that's the so called dual display. Where it's not exactly a folding phone, it's basically a phone with a display on the additional
on the cover,
the display on the case.
Yeah. And but I don't know, like LG has not been making any, like I love the LG phones from what it was earlier, but the thing is, now there's nothing new. But until I saw one article where they say the new cameras are supposed to be like raindrop cameras, like instead of putting it the way that Samsung and everybody is doing it, right? At the back, you're going to put it like raindrops kind of a thing. It look like that. Well, so, I don't know.
That's more of a design decision. I'm not sure how whether it will...
Yeah, if you have a good design, people will buy. That's what. And it has to look different. That's the thing what people want, I guess. Because the S20, if I pick up my S20 and also my S8 maybe, let me just take out my S8 Plus from here. If you really look at these two phones, like other than the size, I don't think there is much of a change.
Yeah, right? I mean, these are all pretty much the
square. Rounded a square with rounded corners kind of a...
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't mind some change here.
The Z Flip was something that was completely different. That is at least one big change that was there.
And finally, a little bit of, again, this is among, I would file it under news that I really couldn't care much about. that's that, I don't know, who are the guys behind the emojis? Is that, I forgot who's the, which is the organization, which, is it ISO? No.
Well, no.
ANSI, I don't know. Some organization, basically the emoji people, let's just call them the emoji people. Okay. So the emoji people have said that there won't be any new emojis in 2020 because, of course, this year is down the drain. And so whatever, every year they do have some, emoji updates. And this year we are not going to get any new emojis. And 2020, we'll have to wait for next year.
Oh, it was created by NTT Docomo.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Emoji symbols as we know them today dated back to 1990s. NTT Docomo, the predominant Japanese mobile carrier, created a set of 172 pictographic images. So, okay, Japan has to be...
Yeah, it started out in Japan, but I didn't know it was NTT Docomo, but I'm not surprised either.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it for broken news. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Maker's Corner. Welcome back, and yeah, we don't have Maker's Corner. This is going to be we're doing a new smart home thing, aren't we?
Yeah, so this time is going to be a little more of a smart home stuff. I think we had last time we had a interview with Sishir, right? Who's the
CEO? Yes, I think episode 100 was it?
Four episodes back. So that is one of the products that they released is the Tang Bowl, which I had actually purchased for myself. And the thing is, most of us, if we have an overhead tank, and there are chances that you don't want to climb up to see how much water is there on the tank on the top, and you don't want to have to run to the motor switch outside to switch off the motor that fills up that tank. So this Tang Bolt is one of their products, which has a smart plug, and it has an ultrasonic sensor which would attach generally into your main tank, and the wire would snake all its way down to the plug. And the plug generally takes the readings from the ultrasonic sensor to find out how much water is there in your tank. And if we can set up limits in the app, like suppose it's only 10% water, then start filling. And when it reaches 95, stop filling. If there's a dry, there's also a dry run protection. Like if you're trying to fill water, but for the past 8 minutes, there was no water actually raising the level of the tank, it would switch off so that it protects the motor and all like from burnout. And automatic turn off is another thing which I already talked about. Once it reaches a certain level, you can set, okay, switch off the motor. So it's quite nice actually. And these work with Alexa and also Google Home. So I can just say, Alexa, turn on the water and it will start filling the water.
I understand there's a much smarter way of doing it, but we have had kind of this auto on and auto off for water tanks for quite some time, haven't we?
Yes.
Based on basically the we have these flush tanks with the balloon thing.
Yeah. So what happens here is, for me, kind of the where I am right now, the water comes every 4 days, and by chance something is leaking and the water keeps going. I lose all the water in the tank, and if it is auto kind of a controller, then it keeps filling and then it will keep going, right? So here what happens is at least I control when it starts and when it stops, so I can at least monitor. And even the app shows you a good display of how much water is there in your in the tank above. So suppose you take this, let me just see if I can get a good view of it. So this is exactly how much water is there right now in my tank. So that way I can switch it on, switch it off from here. It's a quite nice device, actually. It's quite new also, I think, in the market. I think it is just a few months old, right?
Yeah, that's what Sishir said. So again, Sishir from Okter, who made this device.
And the best part is this thing costs similar to like automated
I didn't know. How much did this one cost?
This cost me something like $2,500 or something like that. And it comes with a 100-foot wire for getting that sensor, like connecting the sensor to the plug all the way down there.
So, of course, how easy was it installed? Did you do it yourself or did somebody have to come over and...
I did it myself, actually. I also have a video on our YouTube channel on how to install it and how... It is pretty easy, actually. Connect the, like, stick the ultrasonic sensor into your tank, measure the tank height, enter that into your app, measure the overflow height, put that into the app. Then it knows exactly how tall the tank is and how when it's supposed to stop the water. Put the wire down, like, from above your house, put it down, connect it to your plug, and put your motor plug into your smart plug, which is the tank bolt, and it controls it from there.
So obviously, I mean, it's pretty cool to have all of this. I mean, again, for audio listeners, well, Vinayak sometime earlier just showed off his phone, in which the tank bolt app showed the level of water which is there in his tank right now, which is pretty cool. So as cool as it is, but what I wanted to ask you is, do you practically see yourself using it? I mean, is it a practical thing or is it just a cool, nice to have thing?
We do it every day, right? So we just have to worry about. Like you just look at the level, okay, the level's low, and we also have an option in that. Suppose your level goes below a certain level, should it automatically start spilling and all that? So that option is there, but because we have the water problem, we don't allow it to do it on its own. But the best part is we just have to say once, and then we don't have to worry about turning it off. It'll turn the motor off automatically, which is the most important.
So
part here.
Folks like me who stay in larger, you know, societies and who stay in apartments. Hmm. Do you think this is something that even societies can use? I mean, we've got a swimming pool-sized water tank for each block.
The thing is, but still you'll get a height, right? So the thing is, from one location, the height is anyway still going to be the same in the sense. So the watchman or somebody doesn't have to switch the water off. There's always
which
the
which happens falling. Quite often, yeah. Because there's a small siren which goes off when it... reaches and you have somebody running over, because we do have that auto switch off thing which always breaks, it never works properly. So then somebody calls security, he'll come running, he'll go up to the top floor, he'll
this being an ultrasonic sensor, it always stays away from the water. Maybe that is helpful. The other one, I think, is a float switch or something, might be right.
Could be. I've never bothered to find out.
So that could be a problem. But the thing is, it will switch off the water automatically, the motor automatically. That is one important part there.
So that was the tank bolt from Okta. And of course, if you want to check out the review, the video review, Vinayak has it up on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/talkingstuffnet. And the interview with the CEO of Okta, Sishir, that was on episode 100. So do check it out. And for today's feature, I thought what else can we talk about except the lockdown? And I was thinking we can just talk about gaming during the lockdown. How can you pass the time? So let's do a quick round of tips and what we can do. I was starting with the first thing I would recommend, especially for iOS users. Yes, maybe try out Apple Arcade, because like I said earlier, Apple gives you a 1 month it gives you a 1 month free trial. And what Apple Arcade is it's kind of loosely put Netflix for games, but not really, because once you subscribe to Apple Arcade, there is a certain number of games. I think they have about 100 odd games, and you are free to play them. It's not free, you're paying $100, you're paying $99. But you can play that and you can play any new games that which keep coming in. But you don't own any of these games. So every month you'll have to pay $99, and the moment you stop paying, these games go away. And also remember that Apple Arcade, the games available in Apple Arcade, it's not like you find some game in the App Store and, hey, you know what, this game is really cool, let me pay ₹99 and play it in the arcade. No. Arcade has a very specific set of games which are not available in the general Play Store. These are arcade exclusives. But the good thing is, if you're using it, you can play on your phone. on your iPhone, continue it on your iPad, or even if you have Apple TV, you can continue it on your Mac, or you can continue it on your Apple TV. So if nothing else, yeah, why not make use of the 1 month trial and try some of the games. I mean, most of the games are beautiful, and these are offline games, which you, I mean, I'm so tired of having games which for whatever reasons require you to be online, and none of them have in-app purchases.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm going to ask you, like, how, what about ads and in-app purchases?
Yeah. No ads, no IAPs. So the experience is beautiful. Especially if you, if your kids are going to be playing a lot of games, I would especially say that, you know, get it's worth at least for the next 3 months going for Apple.
But you have a lot of this little kids games in that?
A decent selection. And most of the games are very well curated. So the the experience, in fact, later today, I'm going to be talking about another very well curated game, which is beautiful. And I would really say at least if your kids have access to an iPad or your phone and stuff, you might want to go for Apple Arcade and lock them down to the Apple Arcade, because those games don't have in-app purchases, they don't have ads, and they don't require them to be online. So,
and at $100 a month, it's pretty cheap, I guess, because any, all these games, the games that I where the ads are coming in, right, they're asking for $240 a month. So, so this thing, at least $100, and you can get a big selection of maybe kids' games.
Absolutely, absolutely. And similarly, even I'm not going to leave my folks in, on the Android side high and dry. For people on Android, what I would personally suggest, this is a good time for you to spend all the money you've earned from you know, Google opinion rewards.
I expected that, actually.
I actually did that. And by the way, I don't know, Vinayak, if you got it, but I got a mail from Google. They gave me 300 rupees of Play Store credits for Google One.
So I'm already a Google One user. That's why I think so. They didn't give me anything.
What?
I'm already a Google One user, right?
So even I'm already a Google One user. So it was kind of like saying thanks. So check your Gmail. Maybe you have a mail in your updates folder or promotions folder or something. 300 rupees is what they have given me. So I used it to buy. What I would say is, instead of, you know, wasting it on in-app purchases and stuff like that, head over to the new categories which you don't normally play. If you go to the Play Store and go to the game section, you can also view games by categories. So multiplayer or puzzle, first person, strategy, etc., etc. So look at games that you know you don't normally play. If you're somebody who plays FPS, maybe try out a strategy game or play, try out a role-playing game. And who knows, you might discover something that you really like. And other thing you can do is go to the new releases section. In Play Store, there is a new releases section. So you can stay ahead of the curve and find out some game which, you know, before it becomes popular, you can be the trendsetter saying, hey, you know what, this is new game, and you can start playing it before it becomes cool. So those are my two tips. Yeah, Vinayak, anything from your end?
Yeah, for I have a few actually. If you're a gamer from the old retro MS-DOS era, and a lot of these games, a lot of these games don't work on these newer PCs. So the problem can be removed by actually using an online service called archive.org. You can search for MS-DOS games. So when you search for MS-DOS games, then really the first option should be the archive.org option. So let me just make sure.
DOS Games Archive.
Yeah, so you have the software library, MS-DOS games. So there you have all most of these old games that we really had used to play. Like you have the Prince of Persia, you have the Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, Wolfenstein 3D, Aladdin, all the favorites from that time actually. And these are all available to play in your browser. You don't even have to download them. That's the best part about this. And it works perfectly online that way.
You know, it's also kind of amazing if you think about it. Something like Wolfenstein 3D, if you remember back then, my 386 used to struggle to run it. And now it's running on a browser. For God's sake. So there's this DOSBox emulator which the browser runs, and my God, I was like, man, look at how.
Browser is fast enough to run DOSBox, actually. That's itself there.
Without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, that's right. Then, okay, so those are the oldies. Then again, you have option, like if you are into simulation games or build your city, that kind of set, you have games from Steam which you can purchase. One is SimCity, you have Rise of Nations, and you have the ever favorite, I think, the Age of Empires series, right?
Oh, Age of Empires, Age of Mythology.
Yeah, Age of Mythology is still my favorite, actually. I still have the original disc, so...
I actually, yeah, Age of Mythology and for me, Rise of Nations. I'm still playing SimCity 4, by the way. I literally have it, and now and then, you know, I have my work laptop and I have my personal laptop beside. If there's an office call which is going on for particularly long and I don't feel too inclined, I kind of switch over my attention and, you know, do my city, I tend to my city.
But one game I'm really missing and I didn't find the same anywhere online is Caesar 3, which was really my favorite.
Right, yeah. I've played Caesar 3, but yeah, for me, Rise of Nations and Age of Mythology was... And you also have Transport Tycoon Deluxe, OpenTTD.org.
And then you have, what is that, Tropico Hotel, or you, like you have your hotel business and all that, you're building your party area and kind of stuff and all. That's nice also.
And finally, this is something which we did. So if you have, especially if you have a touchscreen tablet, you know, of course, a tablet has to be touchscreen. So you're going to be using it with a keyboard and mouse. But if you have a large-ish Android tablet, then I would also suggest that Android, or if you have a good, if you have an iPad, but also suggest that you can buy some of these really good board games. Because... for example, we have purchased Game of Life, we have Clue, we have Settlers of Catan. So these are
so really, all these are virtual editions of the original board games you're talking about.
Yeah, but you know, basically they have a complete board game on the screen. So we keep I run it on my Chromebook, which Chromebook of course also runs Android apps. So we fold it and make it into a tablet, keep it on the center table, and me and my daughter and me, my daughter, and her friends, we used to play Game of Life quite often. And
rolling the dice, you just touch the tablet and it rolls.
There's a dice there, you just kind of... in Game of Life, you have to rotate...
okay. So, arrow, what is that?
Yeah, one of those rotating...
Spin the wheel kind of a thing.
Exactly, spin the wheel kind of thing. But you would want to check these out because you're right from Battleship to Monopoly, Game of Life, Clue... You've got
okay, Battleship will be a little troublesome because then you need two screens, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering how to, but you can play it against a phone also.
But I had actually with my son, like we had two phones and I had installed Battleship across two phones, like using Bluetooth. So the two phones connect that way, and then we both were playing against each other using that Battleship on the Android phones. And we were also playing Worms actually.
Worms
also.
Okay.
Yeah, Worms also had a Bluetooth kind of a option to play against each other in the same, like at least within 30 feet, I guess.
Nice, okay. So these are great options, and especially because you can engage your entire family with a board game. And yep. If you don't have these board games handy, of course, there's nothing like actually opening your cupboard and, you know, if you own these board games, play it. I think that experience is way better. But even otherwise, you know, you can purchase these board games on your Android or...
Setting it up will be much more easier in the virtual board games. You don't have to worry about anything.
And you don't lose all those tokens.
Cards and tokens it. And everything.
And now, okay, so that we've had a long...
Actually, one more thing. I have one more game. It's not a game. Like it is a coin picker for the Tambola, right? So suppose you have the old Tambola tickets, but nobody wants to actually call out the numbers. You can download that app, and it will also maintain which numbers have been called out, and it will also give out the
this number. Was your app pick. I think you had this as your app pick quite a few episodes back.
Oh, okay. So it's called Coin Picker.
That's a very good call.
So because this is something like people would really want, the Coin Picker it is called, and then you have one second, let me get it like here. Let me get it right. And then you have the numbers, which numbers have already been called.
Do you play Tambola that often that you have it installed on your phone?
Yeah, because we play at home now also. Because right now, I have a lot of old tickets. Like any person who gives us a gift, right, for birthdays, they give us a Tambola set. So we have so many tickets. Yeah, no more Tambola, please.
No more Tambolas.
Tombola, no Scrabble, no chess. We have enough of those.
Yes, sir. So should we head on to Geek versus Geek?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you start out. What is your choice?
Yeah. So I need you to do me a favor, though. Do check out first. So my pick is a game called Sky, Children of the Light, which has just released on Android. So can you just search for it on the Play Store? Because on the it released on the Play Store just earlier this week. It's very new on Android, and it's been a very
It's available now.
And is it free?
It is free.
It's free. Beautiful. Okay, this is one of those beautiful games.
Now I remember this. Yeah, I've seen these. Very
beautiful,
nice.
Beautiful visuals. And the gameplay is fairly, it's got a controller. You have to go through it. And I don't want to play spoiler, but you have to check it out. Especially because the sound design is, oh my God, it's beautiful. It's one of those games which you must play with headphones on. Because in some places, you are actually following a sound.
Oh.
So, it really doesn't work well if you're... if you're listening to enough speakers, because you need
here
to
I think so our earbud reviews will be actually coming into
absolutely we've got a whole YouTube bunch channel. Of nice shameless cross promotion from my Vinayak. I'm proud of that. So you would want to check out the earphones there, earphone reviews. So do check it out. It's Sky Children of the Light is available on iOS and Android now. So beautiful game and amazing graphics, simple, relatively simple gameplay. So do check it out.
Yep. So mine is actually more to track your device and keep your device safe. It's by Google. It's called Google Find My Device. So basically, you would install the app on your device, and you would give it the basic permissions of being able to change your passcode and everything, and access to all other permissions, location data, and all that. So by chance, if you have misplaced your device, you can find it, and you can also change the PIN code. You can also lock the phone by using you can use a browser to do that actually, to lock your device. So suppose you have lost it. So suppose somebody knows your PIN code and somebody's been accessing something, and you just want to lock it with another PIN code. You can change the PIN code from the browser itself.
And you can do a remote wipe and
remote wipe and all that is available. Alarm is available. So all those options are available here. So even if your phone was on vibrate or no sound, it will turn the sound on and play an alarm if you put it from the browser actually. So even erase the device, lock the device. All these options are available from this app. So this is just to take care of we're not going out anywhere right now, but still, when you start going out, this thing will be useful.
I'm just checking to see whether it's available on iOS. On iOS also. I mean, I understand it won't be available for the iPhone, but
I think Find My Phone is there. No, Apple has its own.
No, it's not available on the Play Store. So it's available. I mean, sorry, it's not available on the App Store. It's available only on the Play Store.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So that's pretty much it. We'll have links to both the app and to the game in the show notes. So we do hope you have good time.
Okay. The most important thing I didn't say, I guess, location also of the phone would be shown on a map.
Oh yes.
That's the most important part. My phone kind of.
And now that you mention it, we actually used it once. Thankfully, it was not stolen. So my wife had forgotten her phone in the office. And then we were tracking it, and we found it in some apartment. It went somewhere in all kinds of places, and we knew where it was. And then my wife realized that one of her colleagues stays in that apartment. So she called him up and she asked, do you have my phone? And he did. So he just didn't know whose phone it was.
Okay.
So luckily, he had picked up this phone which was lying on a desk somewhere. And he couldn't unlock it because since everything is fingerprint unlocked, so he couldn't call.
But if you call it, it should be able to pick up the call, right, on the phone?
No, so the phone was on silent. So apparently, it was on his it was in his bag and it never rang. Oh. And rather, he couldn't hear it. So it was useful. Anyway, so that's pretty much it. That's this week's podcast. And before we go, I just want to also let you know that we had in this week on Binge On. Last time we had adult movies, so movies for adults, I should be saying.
Yeah, actually, that's
this time the pendulum has swung the other direction, and we have Indian children's movies, children movies for Indian. So we have
children and adults alike who enjoy children's movies.
Actually, some of these movies, I think even adults will enjoy it. So
some of them are really good, actually.
And you can find our podcast anywhere where podcasts are found. Isn't that very useful? And also, you can go to youtube.com/talkingstuffpodcasts and check out all our podcasts over there. And we do have a new page even on our website, talkingstuff.net/WUG. It's a brand new interface. We've had we've kind of redone the entire page. So do check it out. You can listen and subscribe and read up on stuff right there. So if you're having trouble finding the podcast, I don't know how you're listening to it now then. But if you do ever need to listen to it, you can go directly to talkingstuff.net/WUG. And that's pretty much it. So
and the YouTube channel also.
Sharing, do whatever you want. Stay safe.
Yep. See ya.
See ya.